Good morning. This morning, we're reading from 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work.
We have our 11th teaching from 2 Timothy, entitled All Scripture is Inspired by God. Of the 7,957 verses within the pages of the New Testament, the one sentence, two verses that is before us today most succinctly express the divine nature and work of God's Word. Concise as these two verses are, it contains an infinite volume of valuable information concerning the inspiration of the Bible and its significance in the life of the believer. To help us comprehend the importance of this text, we need to consider the context. Most often when we hear these two verses taught, the context isn't considered, and it helps us to consider the context that we might understand how valuable these verses are. So let us understand the context of these two verses. The Apostle Paul, facing martyrdom, is writing his last letter. It's addressed to Timothy, his spiritual son, whom he has left in Ephesus to pastor the church there. In the first chapter, Paul encouraged Timothy to fulfill his ministry, writing verses 13 and 14 of the first chapter, "Retain the sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." Then in the second chapter, Paul wrote that the church is the household of God, the pillar and support of the church. Thus, Timothy was to faithfully fulfill his pastoral ministry as a diligent soldier, a rule-abiding athlete, and a farmer who tilled the ground in faith. Paul commanded, verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Then in the third chapter, we have studied as Paul warned young Timothy of the difficulties that lay ahead. Men will grow from bad to worse, infiltrating the church, teaching false doctrines, living immoral lives, exploiting the weak, persecuting all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. To encourage Tim to face the coming difficulties by standing strong in the faith, Paul reminds him of the scripture in which his faith is firmly rooted. Timothy had matured in Christ as he followed Paul in his teaching and practices, and that after having learned the scriptures from infancy through the teaching and practices of his mother and grandmother. Paul wrote, verses 14 and 15, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul encouraged Timothy to stand in Christ by reminding him that his faith was established upon the foundation of the scripture. Paul is saying, the only thing that is going to embolden you to obey as a good soldier, to compete as an obedient athlete, and to endure as a faithful farmer will be your faith in Christ as established in the scripture. The goal, Timothy, is not that you simply endure, but that you excel in adversity. You will be empowered by God for this only as you stand upon the truth of scripture. You have no other foundation, Timothy. This is it, Jesus Christ as revealed in the scripture. Further, Pastor Timothy, if anything is going to sustain the beloved sheep of your congregation, it will be the same, the Holy Scripture. It is not you, Timothy, who sustains your people, but it is God through his word. Therefore, as Paul writes in 4:2, preach the word. Take your people to the word of God. Give them the word. Give them a foundation upon which they can stand and endure. Church, if you and I are going to endure and excel as trials come upon us, as we trust in Christ, our faith in him, then we must well be established in God's word. We can't stand upon promises we don't know. We can't trust in a Christ we don't understand. It is by the Scriptures that our souls come to saving faith in Christ. It is by the Scripture that we are saved and grounded, matured, and endure in Christ. It is by faith that is founded upon the Holy Scriptures that the people of God will persevere until the day that they see Jesus face to face. The Word of God is essential to the life of the believer, and you are not a believer without the Word of God, for faith comes by hearing. So the question comes, why is the Scripture essential to the life of the believer? What is it about Scripture that makes it so powerful and effective? Why is Scripture that upon which our faith must be established, working in us as a driving force by which we stand, endure, and excel in the Christian life, even as we face adversity? These questions are powerfully answered here in our one-sentence, two-verse text. Introduction on your handout. The verses before us teach us that Scripture is powerful, profitable, and that by which God accomplishes His purpose. Verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All Scripture. As we have the Bible today, and as the Bible testifies of itself, being self-affirming, all Scripture in our context refers to the Bible, Old and New Testament. All Scripture includes what is in the Bible, and church excludes what is outside the Bible. Extra-biblical writings, good as they might be, in agreement with the Word as they might be, are excluded from this statement, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is 100% absolutely correct for us to say the Bible in its entirety, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, is inspired by God. Every word in this holy book is inspired by God, and every word in this book alone is inspired by God. Now, one might say that they have read other good books that seem to be inspired by God, okay? We need to understand the term that is here translated, inspired. To put it frankly, the term translated inspired is a poor translation. Let me explain. The phrase inspired by God is translated from one Greek compound word, which I just asked my son-in-law how you say it. Theonestos. Something like that. You know I can't even pronounce English, let alone the Greek. And in all the Bible, it's only found here. Of course, theo is translated God, as in theology means God's study. Theonestos, nostos, refers to breath and means breathe. As some translations have it, this compound word is most properly and literally translated God breathed, meaning breathed out by God. So Roman 1, Scripture is powerful because all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's what makes the Scripture powerful. It is God's word. He breathed this word out. 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. We don't interpret the Scripture the way we want to, do we? We interpret the way God gave it, the way He meant it. It's not subject to one's own interpretation. And then he says, it's for this reason that Scripture is not a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. If someone prophesies by an act of their own will, it's not a prophecy. It's a lie. It's a false statement. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And God said to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So while we may correctly say that other writings are inspired by God And indeed, there are many good writings by Christians that are inspired by God, worthy of reading so much as they agree to the scripture and point us to Christ. Yet, church, listen, there is no other writing that is God breathed as is scripture. No other. Scripture is scripture because its words are exhaled from God. If it is not God breathed, then it is not scripture. In preaching, while we study what is God breathed, our words are not God breathed. I pray our preaching is spirit inspired. But what we say is not scripture. What we say that is not scripture is not God breathed, for it is scripture alone that is God breathed. Thus, preaching only has value for the church as we explain the words breathed out by God. Otherwise, our preaching is our own and of no saving value. Even the Apostle Paul's extra-biblical writings, such as Paul mentions a letter he wrote to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5:9, he speaks of a previous letter. That is not included in the scripture, that letter. He talks about it, but it's not included. So that letter was not God-breathed and therefore not inscripturated. We are sure the other letter Paul wrote was godly, edifying to the church, magnifying to God, but as inspired as it might have been, it was not God-breathed, therefore it's not included in the scripture. Scripture is not that which men wrote and taught and felt as from God, but scripture is that which they wrote, the words of God, breathed out to them. The Bible, church, is not a collection of spiritual sayings of men, but the very words of God. This Bible is God's word and nothing less. Letter A. All scripture has its origin and content from the divine breath, the Spirit of God. Human scribes did not author, but recorded as God breathed out his word. As a result, what they wrote is not only without error, but of supreme value for man. The Bible is all that God wants it to be. It constitutes the infallible rule of faith and practice for mankind. Church, this book is all scripture, and it is all the scripture complete. These are the words of God breathed out to his select servants who would transcribe what he spoke. We know of God because he has revealed himself to us through his breathed out and scripturated word. We know of the fall of man and God's eternal plan to redeem man because he breathed out this word. We know that God fulfilled his redemptive plan in and through Jesus Christ on account that we have his breathed out word here written for us. This is God's word. This alone is scripture, and this alone is able to give one wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is God's word, and it is by the hearing of this and this alone that God grants saving faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. This is God's word, and it is here and here alone that the revelation of God himself, the triune God, has granted us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness through a true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And it's by his glory and excellence that he grants us his precious and magnificent promises here recorded in order that by his inscripturated promises we would become partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption of sin through faith in Christ. And let us remember what Jesus said, Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Church, if anyone wrote down a word that didn't proceed out of the mouth of God, it is not nourishment to man. By the words that proceed out of the mouth of God here inscripturated. Why is the scripture essential to the life of the believer? Because the scripture is God breathed. As in Genesis 2:7, God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. So has God breathed out his word that we might be saved souls and have everlasting life through faith in Christ Jesus. The scripture is essential to the believer because without it, we would not believe. By the scripture we know God. By the scripture we know of his salvation toward us through Jesus. By the scripture we know how to stand in obedience. In the scripture we have the foundation upon which to live and die, and we have it nowhere else. During the day of doubt, remember the God-breathed scripture by which you are saved. During the days of trial, remember the precious and magnificent promise of the God-breathed word. When persecution comes and temptation presses upon you, stand upon the foundation of the God-breathed word. Amen. He has founded his word forever. Psalm 119, 152 says, and his word will not fail. As Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25 affirms, all flesh is like grass, and all is glory like the flower of grass, but grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of God, the word of the Lord, abides forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will be fulfilled to the nth degree. Church, this God-breathed word is the word that is preached to you week after week here at Heritage. Letter B, the Bible is powerful because it is a word breathed out by the Almighty. By his word, God powerfully saves us from sin and death to life and righteousness. By his word, God powerfully equips and guides us to live by faith in Christ. By his word, God powerfully empowers us to persevere through persecution and suffering until the day he calls us home. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Lord, which is the God-breathed word. Stand in the power of God's word. Verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable. The word of God is profitable. That is beneficial. It is productive. It is a means of grace through which God most definitely accomplishes his will. As the Lord God says, Isaiah 55, 7, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word is powerful, and he uses his word to accomplish his will. Roman numeral 2, scripture is profitable, being a productive means by which God works. As God sends rain and rain accomplishes the will of God, so with his word. By his word, he accomplishes his will. He spoke and the world came into being just as he willed. He sent his son, the living word, and Jesus revealed the Father to us just as God willed. Through the living word, God purchased the salvation of all who would believe just as he wills. Church, the word of God is very practical. It is a means of grace by which we are saved, in which we find strength and comfort, wisdom and understanding, hope and perseverance. Listen, to ignore God's word is to ignore a means by which God blesses us with his knowledge and saving and preserving grace. The one who ignores the word of God ignores God himself. And not only ignoring him, they ignore the blessings that God would pour out upon them. The God-breathed word is profitable and therefore guaranteed to accomplish the will of God in us who believe. And what is his will for us? Well, that we would be taught, profitable for teaching. Letter A, the God-breathed scripture is profitable for teaching. Teaching is the transference of the word one to another. As Ephesians 4 says, the Lord gave pastor teachers to the church to equip the saints for the work of Christian ministry so the entire church would attain unity in the faith, unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature to the fullness of Christ. This comes by the teaching of God's word. You want to mature in Christ? Be taught by the word. You want to grow in Christ? Be taught in the Word. You want unity in the faith? Be taught in the Word. You want to fulfill the works which God has prepared for beforehand for you? Get into the Word. As the God-breathed Word is profitable for teaching, it is the God-breathed Word, then, that is to be taught. Now, I have something to say here. Listen, I think you all know this. The Word of God is what is to be taught to the people of God. Enough of the fanciful stories. Enough of the daydreams. Enough of the feel-good sermons. When we read here and see what the Word of God works in us, it doesn't always feel good. Oh, but it is always good. Amen? By the Word, we learn of the person and nature of God. We do not have to imagine what God is like. He tells us what He is like. Amen? By the Word, we learn how one is saved by grace through faith. We don't have to imagine or invent a way that people get saved. We have here the teaching of how God saves. By the Word, we learn how to live by faith and not by works. By the Word, we learn of the assurance of our salvation and are assured of the glory to come. This is what the church is to be about, the teaching of the God-breathed Word. And one could say, well, Pastor, we need to be discipling. And how do you disciple? By the teaching of the God-breathed Word. As our Lord commissions us, we are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that He commanded us. And that going and that teaching starts right here. We're not going to go and teach till we're here teaching. John Kitchen writes, "The Scripture must be the source and controlling influence of all a minister's teaching." Church, preaching that is without the teaching of God's Word is not of God, and it is powerless to save. In our present day, there is much that is called preaching, but if we listen carefully, there's not a lot of teaching of the Word. I encourage you, as one who belongs to God, always choose solid teaching over emotional preaching. Biblical substance must take precedence over emotional rousing. It is better to hear the God-breathed Word delivered dry than to hear scriptureless, man-manipulated grandstanding. MacArthur writes, "The truths of God's Word are spiritual wealth that we should continually be depositing into our minds and hearts. Like deposits of money in our bank account, those deposits of divine truth become spiritual assets profitable to us that we can draw on readily when confronting temptation, when making moral choices, and when seeking God's specific will and guidance for our lives. The Word of God taught and deposited will bring salvation, right conduct, godly purpose, faithfulness, patience, love, and perseverance, even in the worst of persecution and suffering. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable for teaching." Letter B, the Spirit of God, the God-breathed Word, is also profitable for reproof. Reproof is that which shows men their error. Reproof is that which shows men their error. Through His breathed out Word, God reproves the error of men. As we teach the Word, wielding it as the sharp two-edged sword it is, allowing the sword to do the work, God through His Word rebukes sin and refutes error, convicting souls of sin and error. Those who know how to wield a sword, let the sword do the cutting. True? My old friend, Jack Wise, been gone almost 13 years now. He was a meat cutter. He would come over to our house, and he'd love to cook. And he would pull out the knives, and the first thing he'd do is start sharpening them. And he would say, sharp knives never cut anybody. Dull knives cut people because you have to force them. And I still haven't learned that lesson. All my knives are dull. If you know how to wield the sword does the cutting. And here's the problem we have sometimes in the church. We ourselves try to do the cutting without wielding the sword of the word. And then we injure rather than surgically striking that which needs to be removed. Those who know how to wield the sword, let the sword do the cutting. And as a matter of fact, we're going to find out that God equips us in this. Rather than us telling someone they are wrong and in sin, we have the word of God to expose their error. Show them the word. Take them to the word. Show them what God says about these things. Teach the word, and God will expose the heart. I'm afraid too many of us try to do these things in our own power, our own strength, with our own thoughts of wisdom, with our own words, and we don't take people to the Bible. And here's the problem. We don't take them to the Bible because we don't know the Bible. The 1800s British theologian Richard Trent expressed, "We are to reproof one another with such effectual wielding of the victorious arm of the truth of God that they will come to a conviction of their sin." The teaching of the Word of God is a means of grace by which God reproves convicting souls of sin. Letter C. And the God-breathed scripture is profitable for correction. In the New Testament, the word correction is found only here. It is an interesting word that means to set aright what has fallen. To set aright what has fallen. While the word of God is profitable for reproof, showing a man he has fallen, the word is equally profitable for correction, lifting the erring soul to what is right. The word is the hand up for those who are fallen down. The word of God is profitable for restoring the soul of the wounded, erring, and fallen. Listen, proper teaching of the word of God will bring reproof that exposes and convicts, followed by correction which restores and rebuilds. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we will see the reproof that we are sinners and we will confess it, then what? The correction comes, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In Acts 20, 31 through 32, the apostle, after admonishing the people, he commended them. So he spends 3 years, he says, admonishing them, and then he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It does little good to convict the soul of sin if there is no hope for restorative correction. Why show someone their sin if there's no forgiveness available? But oftentimes we Christians strike someone, but then do not give them a hand up, do not show them that there is forgiveness, and oftentimes we ourselves are very unwilling to forgive. But as our brother George prayed, the Lord forgives us as we forgive others. This is the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation leaves the soul ruined and without hope, while conviction moves the soul to cry out to Christ, finding forgiveness, being set right before God. The word not only reveals one's error, but brings the hope of correction. Letter D, the God-breathed scripture is profitable for training in righteousness, discipling the believer in the way of Christ. The word of God works in the hearts of believers, bringing them up in the way of the Lord, that they should be conformed to Christ, to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Training, this word training in righteousness, refers to discipline, which refers to discipling. The word of God is profitable for discipling us in righteousness, in that which is right and holy before God. The emphasis here is on the life lived. Do you see a progression? You show a man a sin, you show him he can be saved, you teach him how to live. Upon reproving us of our sin and error and then correcting us so we are restored and upright before the Lord, the Word of God then teaches us how to follow Christ, how to live, teaching us to walk in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think many people come to the Word to hear that they have sinned. They come to the Word to believe, but then they want to leave the Word because they don't want to live according to the Word. They don't want to follow Jesus. But as much as the Word rebukes and corrects, it trains us in righteousness. The believer who is not being trained to righteousness is not in the Word. As one takes a willow and slowly bends it to retain the desired shape, so does God, through the teaching of His Word, bend our hearts toward Himself, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. His Word is His means, a means of grace by which He accomplishes His righteousness in us, that we would be trained to live according to His Word, His will, in His righteousness. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, verse 17, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, the phrase, the man of God. Some insist that the phrase, the man of God, refers to Timothy and every pastor who follows after him. And yet, such wonderful commentators as I've quoted from today, John Kitchen and William Hendrickson, say that it refers to every believer. The man of God refers to every believer. Can I share with you that both views are acceptable? For as the God-breathed word adequately equips the pastor, He will teach the church and every believer, so they will be adequately equipped. Surely we don't suppose that God, through His Word, only equips a few chosen ones and not all His children. The equipped pastor-teacher will equip the saints. Roman numeral 3, Scripture is a means by which God accomplishes His purpose. By teaching, reproving, correcting, and righteous training of the divine word, the believer is made adequate. Now, adequate refers to completeness, not being barely adequate, or when we sit down and say, well, that was adequate, that was an adequate meal. No, the idea of adequate here is that this meal was an abundance, more than you can take in. So adequate refers to completeness, not being barely adequate, but fully adequate, entirely prepared, and skillful. It speaks of a constant readiness to live rightly, where the believer is ready to do what is right, as 4:2 says, in season and out of season. It is through the training, the teaching, the reproving, the correcting, and the training in righteousness that God prepares us to live as the people of God, facing whatever we may, even as times become more difficult, even as we suffer, even as we face persecution. God prepares us to live a right life, no matter the station of our life. Honestly, I know things in our life come up that surprise us. And yet still, as we've been in the Word of God, we should be prepared to face that, whatever it is. I'm not saying it's easy. But are we grounded in the Word or not? Do we have everything we need for life and godliness or not? Again, I'm not saying it's easy. We see that as Paul is exhorting Timothy, it wasn't easy for Timothy to stand. But he was prepared because he was grounded in the Word. And that's what Paul's telling him. Paul's telling him, Timothy, you're prepared. Now prepare your people. God, through His Word, makes you adequate. The God-breathed word is profitable, for through the teaching, reproving, correcting, and training in righteousness, one is made adequate, equipped for every good work. God, through his breathed-out word, equips the believer for every good work, that they would believe, that they would live, and that they would die for Christ. Do you see, dear one, the importance and the value of the God-breathed word in your life? Oh, I was just thinking. I'll let you into my heart. I was just thinking. If I were to die, and someone were to say, what didn't you take seriously enough in your life? I would say, I didn't take the word of God seriously enough. You'll say, Pastor, you read the Bible, you pray, you preach to us. Yes, and I'm confessing to you, I haven't taken the word seriously enough. Look at the benefits of God toward us through his word, that we would be prepared for every good work. Letter A, God accomplishes his purpose through the teaching of his word, making the believer adequate, fully prepared, and skillful in facing the trials of life. By his word, he equips us to do what is right, what is good and right, in the midst of every circumstance, difficulty, trial, and persecution. Beloved, are you prepared to do what's right? Are you equipped to do what's right? Get into the word and God will prepare you. He will equip you. And by the way, this isn't something you can accomplish on your own. You have to be prepared and equipped by God. And how will he do it? And this is what we do. Oh God, give me all these things. Just give me this strength. He has given all that to us through his word. You need more strength? Get into his word. Pray, amen, but get into his word. You need wisdom for a situation? Get into his word. You need to be prepared for difficult times ahead? Get into his word. Dear church, though difficult times may lay ahead, and in some portion they have come upon us, and though men will proceed from bad to worse, seeking to harm the church, introducing destructive heresies, taking advantage of the weak, persecuting all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, nevertheless, God, by his breathed out and written word, has and is equipping us to believe and live rightly, doing his good work, faithfully preaching and practicing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, if you and I are going to endure and moreover excel in the face of the difficulties that come upon us as Christians, we who trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, then our faith in Christ must be well established in God's word. It is by the scripture that souls come to saving faith in Christ. It is by the scripture that the souls of the saved are grounded, maturing, and enduring in Christ. It is by that faith that is grounded in the Holy Scripture that the people of God will persevere until the day they breathe their last and God calls them home when they see Jesus face to face. The word of God is essential to the life of the believer. So I want to ask you this morning, even as I have asked myself, what is your plan to avail yourself to the benefits of God's word? I can tell you, you want the benefits. You want them. They're good. So what is your plan to avail yourself to them? And one may be here today saying, I read the Bible every day and I do these things. Well, I'm not trying to push down on you. I'm trying to encourage you. And even for myself, what plan can I make to dig deeper, to grow stronger, to gain more teaching from God's word? You know, as one makes a plan to go to the gym and exercise and gain strength and health, will you make a plan to go to the Bible that you will gain spiritual strength and health, that you will receive from God all he so graciously grants us through his word? This word is the life-changing, life-saving, life-preserving Word of God. Join us. I encourage you, join us. I'll give you a month off. Join us this next year in reading through the Bible with us. Every month you get a bookmarker. Read these scriptures. I know you get behind. I get it. Well, then catch up. Join in a Bible study. Join in a Bible study. Listen all you can to the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, a new year is upon us, and it's a good time before God to determine how you will avail yourself to His breathed out Word. Closing. The Bible is God's breathed out Word. The Bible is all Scripture, and it is all the Scripture. Contained in the pages of the Bible are the words of life by which we learn of God and His salvation through Christ for all who believe. Will you believe in Jesus as the Bible teaches of Him? Will you confess your sin, and knowing He is faithful and just to forgive your sin, will you now follow after Him as Savior and Lord, just as the Bible teaches? Let us believe in God, and having believed, let us give ourselves to His Word by which He profits us. Through the teaching of His Word, God reproves, corrects, and trains us in righteousness, well equipping us to live the Christian life. Beloved, as a Christian, this is where we stand, on the breathed out, written words of God. We have no foundation but Him. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Your love is perfect toward us. We give You praise. Because You have loved us, You have poured out blessings untold. And yet we have the blessings we know of here in Your Bible written as You breathe them out. Blessings of salvation. Blessings of courage. Blessings of purity. Blessings of hope. Promise after promise. We thank You, O God, for the blessings You poured out toward us. Lord, as we've entered into this holiday season and there's going to be much gift giving, I think every one of us, if we're given a gift, we're going to take it and open it. Oh Lord, that we would take the gift of Your Word and open it and receive all the benefits You have for us in Your Word. Lord, may we today, by the work of Your Spirit, begin to more fully comprehend the power of Your Word, that it is Your Word. God, if we can comprehend that this is Your Word, that You breathe it out. And then, Lord, if we would comprehend the great benefits You bring us through Your Word. Lord, let us know that the Bible is Your Word. It is all Scripture and all the Scripture. May we receive it as it is, Your breath upon us, giving us life, O God. May we profit from Your Word just as You will. May we receive the teaching of Your Word. And Lord, may we be so blessed as to receive Your good reproof, Your good correction, and Your good training in righteousness. Thank You, O God, that through Your Word You equip us completely for life and godliness. Now, Lord, by the power of Your Word, may we go and live the Christian life as You've called us to. And yes, Lord, even facing many, many difficulties. Lord, as I think of the difficulties these people face, my heart is broken. Tremendous difficulties. But Lord, through Your Word, empower us to live rightly through them, to stand boldly upon Your truth, knowing that You, by Your Word and Your promises and the work of Your Holy Spirit and the salvation that is in Christ, that You will see us all the way to heaven's gate. Lord, let us stand here upon Your Word, And by this, Lord, may we believe that Jesus is your Christ, and may we glorify you. It is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that I pray, and all the church said, Amen.